Oh yeah, the Who. Huh? The Who.
Who? Is there an owl in here?
Man, I remember sticking a couple of quarters in the jukebox at the boys club up there in Arlington, Massachusetts.
Uh-huh.
Playing this one. Downstairs in the basement. Little bumper pool tables. Absolutely, man. Late 1970s rock. Gotta love it. Talk Radio 640 WGST. It is the Sully Show. We're live and local between noon and 2, and you're welcome to join us at 404-367-9478. We talk once a week with Rick Limpert. He is an Atlanta-based Yahoo News and sports contributor. You can check out his daily tech column at examiner.com. Also hook up with him on Twitter. He is at Rick Roswell. Rick, what's good with you, sir?
Sully, you got the best bumper music in radio.
Oh, that's thanks to the one and only Chris East from Noonan GA, man, doing his thing in there. Taking you back with a little Who. Do you remember that tune?
Sure. I'm of that age. I can remember that a little bit.
Absolutely, man. Good stuff. Okay, so Rick Limpert is with us. It's Talk Radio 640 WGST. Rick, you were hanging out at the Twilio and Google Roadshow in Atlanta this week, the focus being on customer service. What can we expect in customer service?
Well, hopefully better customer service, but really the point of this show was kind of to introduce different ways that we're going to be dealing with customer service agents now in the future. Text messaging, email, online chat, so that's really the way customer service is going, and Twilio and Google put on a nice little two-day show about how that's all going to happen. So it was pretty interesting.
I really like the text technology. It actually helps me quite a bit in my life, specifically with things like, like appointments and that sort of thing. Like when I need to go to the dentist, I get like a text a day or two ahead of time from them to remind me that I have an appointment, and that's really helpful for somebody like me. I think that across many different lines of business, people are using text messages even more to communicate with their customers.
Yeah, it's more than just for sending notes to your friends now. It's, like you said, you can set up, alerts, calendar alerts that text you when you have to be at a meeting. And, we always have our phones with us, so text messaging is sometimes the best way to be reminded of something.
I saw this story, and it blew me away that a headphone company that Dr. Dre started a number of years ago could be worth such an enormous amount of money. Is this a done deal, Apple wanting to buy Beats Electronics from the Dr. Dre?
Well, Apple's not confirming it. I don't know if it's a done deal or not, or I don't know if it was kind of hyped up by the people at Beats to get their value of the company up a little bit. But, I could see Apple possibly being interested in a company like this and, providing Beats headphones and earbuds with Beats technology with iPhones. I think that would be maybe the next logical step for Apple to start bundling things together with iPhones.
How was Dr. Dre able to take a relatively simple concept, I mean, headphones are not revolutionary, and turn it into a billion-dollar piece of property?
It's really amazing. You get the right people behind it and you promote it the right way. Anything's possible. Have you ever tried the Beats headphones at all, Sully?
Yes, I have. I am not in the market for new headphones at the moment. I'm very happy with the ones that I have, but I have checked those out, and I mean, they're pretty incredible, and you see them all over the place, and the people who do have them are just walking advocates for them, if you can get them off of them to talk to them.
Yeah, and walking advertisements for them as well. So, I mean, I think they sound good. I mean, I have a much cheaper pair of headphones I can't really tell much difference in, but as far as marketing, they've won that war. As far as the headphones and earbuds go, they're definitely on top.
I mean, maybe it's just the same template that like Grey Goose uses. Grey Goose, the vodka brand, their idea was to distill a vodka in France, put it in a really fancy bottle, and sell it for significantly more than comparable products cost. And they had a great deal of success with it. For Sidney Frank, it was a big deal. And here, Dr. Dre's Beats Electronics headphones are selling for $300, $400, $500 a pop. And, that translates to big money because it doesn't cost all that much to make these headphones.
No, not at all. Not at all. It's really a marvel that they've been able to do that. I'm in the market for $400 headphones, so I'm not going to buy a pair. But, I mean, that's not unlike what Apple's done for years. Apple's always been higher priced. Their product's been comparable products, so it may be a good match.
when I have $400, Rick, I'm thinking about a couple of things. You know, rent, car payment, you know, a couple of scratch-off tickets. I'm cool with that. You know what I mean? I'm like, I'm not opposed to that. But I don't think that I'm quite yet willing to shell out $400 for a pair of headphones. All right, we're talking with Rick Limpert. He is a Yahoo News and Sports contributor based right here in Atlanta. You can check out his work on CBS Atlanta and Examiner.com, where he writes a daily column. Of course, you can interact with him and read more from him on Twitter. He is at Rick Roswell. I mentioned a little bit about this last week, the proposed undersea train that would go from China to the continental United States by way of course, coming into Alaska and the western part of Canada. What's up with this? Is this really going to happen, do you think?
I mean, it's being talked about, I guess, in China and in the U.S. It would be a 125-mile undersea train that would go from China, you know, into Alaska. So it's not going across the whole length of the Pacific Ocean. But, you know, I think, you know, this may be good for relations between the U.S. and China. I can see more positives in this than the negatives, but will it ever get off the ground or under the ground? That's years and probably decades away.
I'm kind of interested maybe in seeing if we can get a under-the-water or under-the-ground train that might reach the intersection of 285 and 75 so that we can adequately access the Brave Stadium when it opens up there in 2017.
From Beijing or from Dahlonega? I mean,
just tell me where it's going to be easier to get to the Brave Stadium from, and I'll go there, you know?
Well, it's already easier to get to and from Talladega than it is to and from Atlanta Motor Speedway for NASCAR fans in the Atlanta area. So I'm interested to see what's going to happen with that Braves Stadium and the transit to and from it.
Okay, so this is another trend, Rick. Physicians utilizing servers costing his hospital $4.8 million. What happened here?
Well, this was one particular physician who decided to take the use of his computer in the network at the hospital into his own hands. He was basically trying to format a computer of his own, but it was attached to the network at Columbia University Medical Center in New York, and it basically caused a big security breach, and individual files were accessed and sent out to people, and they're estimating after all said and done that this is going to cost $4.8 million to settle with the U.S. Department of Health. And this is all just because of one doctor that was trying to clean up his computer that was attached to the network.
Man, so if you ever have any questions, make sure you hit up the IT department before you do anything and maybe have them run the scans on your computer so that those scans don't end up costing the company you work for $5 million.
Yeah, that's an unbelievable story. How do you think that doctor feels? I
mean, oh, my goodness. Well, he's a doctor. He's probably got a couple of bones, so he can fix it pretty quick.
He's probably got some Beats headphones, too.
Yeah, exactly. He's probably got a whole closet full of them. our good friends at the Department of Justice now want further remote access into our computers. Of course, they're doing this all under the name of national security. There is certainly a lot of online schemes and crimes that originate on the computer, but is this a little excessive with the Department of Justice, the access that they already have to our information, them wanting even more, and are we to think maybe that they're just doing this as a formality, that perhaps they do already have the access that they want?
Yeah, they might already have it, but this is more in, you know, anytime there's a big topic or a big problem like Heartbleed was, and we talked about that, they're always going to try to stretch and get more power, more control, you know, with the premise that they're protecting us, and now they want remote access to computers. So it's not only that they can confiscate computers and laptops and phones and tablets, now they want to be able to remotely access that. So, I mean, what that tells me is they want to be able to access it when we don't even know that they're accessing it. So that I got some issues with that.
Rick Limpert, appreciate it as always. Follow him on Twitter at Rick Roswell. Look at his work on Examiner.com, where he writes a daily tech column, and you can also see his work on CBS Atlanta. Have a great weekend, Rick. Thank you, my man.
You too, Sully. Take care.
404-367-9478. It's the Sully Show. By the way, I'm going to be...